Amen. Well, let's turn tonight to John chapter 13. The mandate, the new commandment that Christ gives to the disciples does not come until later in John chapter 13. Christ, practicing what he preaches before he gives that commandment to the disciples. Before he tells the disciples, this is the new commandment that you should love one another, Christ demonstrates what that love is. Christ loves first and then says, follow me in that love. And so tonight we come to John 13, Christ washing the disciples' feet. And we'll read verses 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said, answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, Not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Let's bow in prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you for this amazing display of Christ's love for us, Lord, that he would stoop down and humble himself, Lord, get on his knees to wash the dirty feet of his disciples, Lord. Oh, Father, Christ tells us, Lord, to do in the same manner as he has done for us, to serve one another as he has served us, Lord. Help us now, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to understand these words, Lord. Apply them to our lives. Change us by your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, tonight our focus is on the love of Christ, and I want us to see five distinctives of Christ's love from this passage. So the first thing we see in John 13 is a specific love. Christ's love is specific. Notice verse 1. Verse 1 tells us that he, having loved his own. Jesus is, he's demonstrating something purposeful, something profound. His love is not vague. His love is not generalized. He has a people who are his own, a people who are his own given to him by the Father. This is what we call the doctrine of election. And actually, we see this several times in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. Jesus said, All that the Father gives me will come to me. John chapter 10, verse 27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Hear this language of the Father giving a people to the Son. In John 17, This same night when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed in agony and sweat drops of blood, he prayed these words, "I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." We recently learned in Ephesians chapter 1, he chose us in him before the foundation of the worlds. What does this mean? It means that the Father sent his Son into the world not just wishing and hoping that some people would believe on Christ and be saved. The Father sent his Son into the world on a specific mission to redeem and rescue every last one of his people. This means that God's love is specific to you, that he called you, he chose you, he set his love on you. How amazing is it that God would choose us, that he would choose you own? Then second, we see verse 1 tells us those elected by God for eternal salvation, his own, are loved to the end. Love to the end. It's a love that never ends. This word end in the Greek language is the word telos. Telos meaning to the goal or to the limit. So you could say Christ loved you his own until the goal was accomplished, or until the limit was reached. The telos, the goal of his love, the final point of his love is the cross. So Christ is saying, until the work of the cross is finished, until I say it is finished on the cross, when the debt is paid, the goal is completed, I love you until that very end. He also loves you, the telos, meaning to the limit, the furthest extent. Listen to how the NIV translates this verse. It says, he showed them the full extent of his love. Loving to the end means he loves to the furthest degree. That your love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Meaning God's love for his own is infinite. That's the end that he loves us with. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays that we have strength. We need strength to comprehend the height and breadth and length and depth of Christ's love because his love is so abounding. You know, this is one of the beautiful aspects of walking with the Lord, of walking with Christ, is that every day we have the opportunity to understand more of his love for us. Because his love is infinite for us, we can never exhaust the supply of his love. We can learn more and more about it every single day. It's like the ocean. You can't explore every single inch of the ocean. It's not possible. You can't grasp how deep the Father's love is for you, for us. There's always more. Even in heaven, we will still be learning more and more about the love of Christ for us. Now, there's an application here on this second point, the persevering love. Because Christ has loved you to the end, this means you can rest. You can rest from your labors. You can rest from your burden and shame. Christ has loved you until the very end, the fullest extent of his love, to the very end of eternity. His love will bring you to the end. So, Christian, rest in the love of Christ. Third, tonight we see a passage. Verse 4 and following tell us Jesus rose from the supper. He got up from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist, poured water in a basin, and one by one he began washing the disciples' feet. Matthew, James, John, Andrew, Judas. Eternal God, on his knees, on the floor, wiping the dirty, smelly, disgusting feet of these 12 disciples. One pastor says this: the very hands that formed the world are now washing the dirty feet of 12 sinful men. Now, it's telling that none of the disciples volunteered to wash feet at this supper. Why? Because the disciples viewed washing the feet of their peers as beneath them. They would never do this. They would never stoop this low. You probably know to be the one who would wash feet. Actually, this job was considered so lowly and so humiliating that it was typically reserved for Gentile slaves rather than a Jewish slave. But notice what Christ does here. He initiates this service. He takes it upon himself. Others will not do. They will not stoop this low. But Christ loves first. This act of Christ, the teacher, the rabbi, the master, stooping down and washing the feet of these men, this would have been socially shocking. Shocking to the room. Actually, even offensive to the room. You notice Peter's response. You see what Peter says? You will not wash my feet. Actually, the language there is, you will no never wash my feet. Because foot washing was so socially far beneath even Peter, that's what he thought, certainly far beneath Christ. Peter was offended by this action. And notice what verse 2 tells us. It was already in Judas's heart to betray him. Christ knew this. He knew that Judas was just about to betray him later that night. And he continued even washing Judas's feet. It shows the compassionate, long-suffering he serves even his betrayer. Well, what is Jesus demonstrating here in his service? He's giving the disciples a foretaste of how low he will go, how much he will give to serve them and to bring them to the end. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of how much Christ will humble himself. He's giving them a foretaste of what is to come on the cross. Well, fourth tonight, we see that Christ's love is a cleansing love, a cleansing love. In our passage, there are two different words that speak of cleansing or teach us about cleansing. You notice the word wash and the word bathe. I think about these two words, wash and bathe. When we talk about washing, we usually wash several times a day, or at least the doctor says you're supposed to wash your hands several times a day. We do this throughout the day. But typically you bathe only once. Okay, washing is often, bathing just once. It's a whole body wash. But notice verse 10. Verse 10, Jesus uses both of these words. He says, the one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. Matthew, understanding this statement, he says, to be bathed speaks of conversion. It's a full cleansing, and it happens once. But to be washed, he says, this is ongoing sanctification, ongoing daily cleansing from sin. It happens or should happen every day in the life of the believer. Full bath is the once and for all cleansing from sin. Hebrews 10 tells us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The washing is an everyday process. Turning from sin, being cleansed by Christ, washed by the word of Christ. Charles Spurgeon writes this, Christ is so gracious to let us return again and again for him to daily wash our feet. To let us return over and over, dirtied from the roads of the world and the roads of sin. He takes up the towel and washes us over and over. Never stop returning to Christ for foot washing, he says. So notice what Peter responds with in verse 10. Or what Jesus says to Peter. He says, the one who is bathed is completely clean. You are clean, meaning, Peter, you have been saved by Christ. Your sins have been washed away. As Ezekiel prophesied, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Saying, Peter, you're clean. You don't have a need for further bathing because it's already happened. But notice Jesus says, not all of you are clean. Speaking of Judas. Judas there had his feet washed. He's going through the outward ceremonies and motions of cleansing. But his heart was not bathed by Christ. He was physically with Christ, but his heart remained with the world. His heart remained far from Christ. Christ's love is a cleansing love, but it must be a full bathing and cleansing. And then from there, we have the everyday washing. Let that be a warning to you, the story of Judas. Being close to Jesus is not the same as being united to Jesus. You must have your heart cleansed by Christ. You must, as Jesus says in our passage, verse 13, you must call him teacher and Lord. He must not just be a good teacher to you. He must be Lord of your life. Christ's love is a cleansing love. And then fifth, finally, we see that his love is an exemplary love. An exemplary love. Notice what Jesus says in verses 14 and following. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Christian, your calling is clear. It's to do just as Christ has done for you. Verse 16, you are not greater than your master. None of us is greater than the one who sent us. None of us are greater than Christ. So just as Christ stooped down to the lowest place and washed the feet of his disciples, so you, Christian, must do the same. Christ is saying there is no such thing as a Christian that doesn't serve. That's the Christian life. And notice it's not just serving where you're comfortable. It's not just serving where you're affirmed and appreciated. It's not just serving when it's convenient for you. You serve following Christ's example, meaning serving humiliated, serving sacrificing your time and comfort, serving when you're misunderstood, like Peter misunderstood Christ, serving even when at times your service is denied or rejected, when you aren't thanked. As Christ served Judas, you are even called to serve those who stand against you, to serve enemies. Spurgeon again writes, if Christ has stooped down to wash your feet, you must stoop to wash others. He says, you cannot stand tall in your pride while Christ has stooped down low for you. So, Christian, think about your life. Who are you serving in this manner? What person, what group can you point to? Are you humbling yourself as Christ has done for you? Are you stooping down low? No act of service beneath you. This might mean serving your spouse or your children. When you're tired and worn out, this might mean forgiving, helping and serving someone who will never pay you back, even serving and loving somebody who's difficult and doesn't like you. Here's the thing about Christ's service. He does his service. He does it for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. So if we follow Christ's example as he served, we serve with joy. I get to serve. I get to humble myself. I get to be more like my Savior, stooping low and serving others. Let me end with one application. Verse 17, Jesus says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Christ says it's not just enough to know these things. You want to be blessed, you must do these things. Christianity is not just an intellectual exercise. We don't just leave from here and say, okay, I close my Bible up, I'm not in church anymore, so my Christianity is turned off until I come back. No, it's doing these things that Christ has given us. It's knowing Christ and then following Christ. Jesus says doing this will bring blessing. This word blessed means to be happy. What is the key to happiness, to blessing? To serve as Christ has served us. The world tells us happiness comes from being served. But Jesus says happiness comes from serving. A new commandment I give to you, love one another just as I have loved you. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, thank you for this reminder, Lord. Thank you that you sent your Son into the world to humble himself, and he humbled himself to the furthest extent, to the point of death on the cross. And even before the cross, Lord, he gave us this demonstration of his love, how he serves us, how he cleanses us and washes us, Lord. Help us to follow this example as Christ has told us, Lord. Lead us in this path of blessing and happiness, Lord. May we continue to humble ourselves, to make less of ourselves and more of Christ. And in his holy name we pray. Amen.